In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hands of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you, and you brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. And do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone, for my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. But be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You will increase my honour and comfort me once again. And I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I who you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
We didn't get around to a logo for this series, no picture of a roaring lion. So I thought through the week of a couple we could have used, though these will only make sense to you if you've been here for the whole series. First one I thought of perhaps was an hourglass. We mentioned the hourglass and how the sands of our hourglass were trickling slowly to the bottom. And we all have more in the bottom of the hourglass than we now do in the top. So time is running out. Remember from our very first sermon in this series. Then I thought maybe a suitable logo would have been the grasshopper. For those who weren't here, it's a reference to Ecclesiastes 12 and the grasshopper struggling as he gets older. And we had a bit of fun with that. But I didn't want to give you a depressing looking grasshopper. Because well, it would be a bit depressing. And John last week told us the best was yet to come. So I thought a grasshopper looking forward to eternity and all that God has in store for us, apart from all the good things of our senior years, might be a good logo to have. However, today, to finish the series, I want to take you to the prayer of an aging man. A prayer written by David, and we find it in Psalm 71. Before we look at what David prayed about, let me ask you, what do you pray about? We know what our prayers pray about here of a Sunday morning, but what do you pray about for yourself? You pray about your health and safety, probably. You probably pray for your family, or I hope you do. And we probably pray about our troubled world and the mess it's in. I don't know what you pray about. Maybe you pray about winning the lottery, but it's getting a bit late for that. What would you do with it other than leave it to other people? So maybe you ought to give up on praying to win the lottery. What do you think David prayed about as he got older? Well, that's what we're going to look at today, and I've divided it into three parts. The first part of Psalm 71 is a plea actually for his safety and deliverance. He knew as he was getting older that he was getting a little bit weaker and that there are others who might want to attack him and take his place. So he prayed, "Let me never be put to shame. Rescue and deliver me. Be the rock of refuge to which I can always go, for you are my rock and my fortress." He prayed to God, his rock and his fortress, to be a place of refuge that he could always go. All over Israel, there are hills and rocks and caves and the ruins of old fortresses. These formed suitable refuges for people in need of shelter, people on the run, and for various armies at various times. David himself had no doubt used these refuges that are scattered all over Israel. But for him, his real refuge was to find his refuge and his hiding place in God. "You are my rock and my fortress." That's a very comforting thing as we get older, to be able to say, "Who do I turn to? Who can I turn to?" And to look at the words of David, who, the aging king, as he thinks about his life, and he thinks about the things that could trouble him and his needs of deliverance and safety, says, "It's to you. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me. Be my rock to whom I come." So who do you turn to in your frailty? Who do you turn to in matters of health? Is God really your divine physician? Or are you banking on a whole lot of other things? Is God your first call in matters of your family, matters of your finance, matters of your health? Or do you somehow bear these burdens alone? One of the things that we have, which other people do not have, is a rock and a refuge to pray to and to come to in our old age, in our days when we are not as strong as we used to be, when there are complications in life and health and with family. Are you bathing them in prayer to your rock, to the rock of ages? Not much good coming here and singing about the rock of ages if you don't turn and find yourself hiding in the rock of ages, because he invites us to come, cast all our cares on him. So David's first point was to come to God and ask for strength, health, and safety in his time of need. Second part of his prayer is of praise and thanksgiving for past years. You find these in verses 5 to 8 if you're actually following. Why does David turn to God in his advancing years? Why is he so confident in his rock of ages? Well, when you look at the second part of this prayer, David casts a look back over his life. And he is full of praise and thanksgiving for God's care and protection. "For you," he says, "have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Leslie Brandt, who paraphrased all the Psalms, put it this way: "I have leaned on you since birth, My life is one long list of deliverances. You have kept me secure in the embrace of your love. My mouth is filled with your praise and glory all day long. So when you get to our age and you're looking back, can you see God's provision and protection for you? Can you see that God has kept you? That's what was filling David's heart with praise. As he looked back from his birth, God had been with him, strengthening him, providing for him, encouraging him and equipping him to live his life. So he looks back and sees God's hand has always been over his life. That's not a bad thing for you and I to do from time to time, look back. Because when you see that you can trust God then, you'll be able to trust God when it comes to the future. Can you praise God for his comforting presence in your life and protection? David's heart was full of praise. He said, I can't get enough words out to keep praising you for the way you have looked after me. David had plenty of things to praise God for, and we can too. There's a song written by Keith and Kristen Getty. I particularly love the second verse, which goes like this. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses and strengths and causes fear to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. Aren't they marvellous words? My heart is filled with thankfulness. One of the things that will encourage us to be well and to be strong in our old age is to keep looking back at the way that God has provided for us and to give him thanks. And then thirdly, David comes to a section where he wants to pray for the coming years, the years that lie ahead. He's thankful to God for his watchfulness. He now wants to focus on a prayer for the remaining years of his life as the sand continues to trickle through the hourglass of David's life. Three things are on his mind. One, he prays for God's continued presence. Do not cast me away when I am old, or forsake me when my strength is gone. He pleads in verse 9, be not far from me, O God, he asks in verse 12. See, God has always promised his presence to those who love him, whether it's the Moses and the Joshuas, the Gideons, the Isaiahs, the Jeremiahs, or the saints of the Old Testament, whether it's the apostles in the New Testament. The promise to one and all is, I will be with you always. Somebody once told me there were 365 times the Bible mentions, lo, I will be with you. One for every day. I don't know what you do in a leap year, you think about the other ones, but God makes many, many promises to be with us. David claims that promise now in his prayer. Lord, do not cast me away when I am old, or forsake me when my strength is gone. Be not far from me, O God. He wants to know that he will walk hand in hand with God to the very end. Is that what you're looking forward to? Walking hand in hand with God to the very end of your days, to his life's end, so that he could perhaps echo the words of his ancestor Jacob, who was able to say at the end of his life when he was blessing his sons, and he talked about God. He said, my God, the God who has been my shepherd every day of my life to this point. That was how Jacob described God. So no much wonder his great, 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 great something grandson David could say, like Jacob, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So he prays, first of all, that God's continuing presence will be with him in his life. Secondly, he prays for opportunities to praise God. David wants opportunities not just to think about himself, for that is a great temptation, my problems, my health, my issues. David wants the opportunity to praise God in his final years. He wants to be lifting his heart up in more and more praise to God, taking his focus off himself and putting it on the God who loves him and has provided for him. I will praise you more and more, he says. I will proclaim your mighty acts, your righteousness, and I will praise you for your faithfulness. He wants to be lost in wonder, love, and praise, to paraphrase or to use one of our hymns, something we don't always think about. Praise and worship, not only to God for what he has done, but to God for who he is, to be continually wanting to praise God for who he is and to declare God's praises to our children and our children's children. What a marvelous thing we can do if to our dying day we are people who are praising God and giving that sort of witness to our children and to our children's children and also to our fellow church members. We are people of praise. And lastly, he prays for an opportunity to proclaim God. Verse 18, we read David's third prayer point. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me until I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And in verse 23 and 4, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. Is that not a beautiful prayer? That this aging man says, Lord, don't forsake me when I'm old and grey until I have proclaimed you to the next generation. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be able to share his love of God with the next generation. Is that your prayer? That you want to actively proclaim God to your children and your children's children and to all those you have the opportunity to speak to? Is it something you just don't think might happen, but something you, like David, would actually pray about? Lord, give me the opportunity to do this so that I can tell of who you are and of what you have done for me and what you will do for others. Lord, give me those opportunities. David was not a person that wanted just to fade out. He didn't just want to go down swinging. He wanted to go down singing. He wanted to go down praising God, his Saviour. And you know something? Our generation is one of the best equipped to pass on the faith of Christ. By and large, we have been extremely well taught, probably better taught than any previous generations. We have Bibles, many of us have been in Bible study pretty well all our life. We've known the Lord for a long time, many of us. We live longer, we're healthier, we're wealthier. We have wealth and wisdom to contribute to the next generation. Of course, we can choose just to hide that. We can choose just to have that for ourselves, or we can choose, like David, to say, Lord, don't let me die until I've had the opportunity to pass it on. You might think you're weak, and yes, we are weak. God puts this treasure in jars of clay. But he also says his strength can be made perfect in our weakness. God can use you if you are willing to be used. Serena Dyer is a college student in America. You've probably never heard of her. Her dad, Wayne, as she was going through college, wrote out 10 tips for living a successful life. The one that really stuck with her was this: don't die with your music still in you. don't die with your music still in you. In other words, fulfill that which God has given you and let it out to the world. Wayne Bennett uses this to draw the best out of his rugby league players. He doesn't want any of them to die with the music still in them. He says, if you've got something to offer, now's the time to get it out and do it. And surely we can use that as a similar thing. Let's not die with the music of the gospel in us. Share the music of our souls with other people. The Apostle Paul said, I do not run the race like a man running aimlessly. There was purpose in the race that he was running. When you saw the face, if you were up early enough to see the face of Sally Pearson yesterday morning, running for that line in the 110 hurdles, she was not running aimlessly, let me tell you. She was running to prove a point to her head coach, ex-head coach. She was running to the line and she had a purpose in what she was doing. I do not run the race like a man running aimlessly. Is your prayer like David's? Lord, don't let me die until I've passed on your love to the next generation. We have an opportunity to witness to our Saviour until our race is over. So let me finish, or almost finish. You hate it when a preacher says, I'm almost finished, and you wonder what else is to come. But one of the things that I've been to a few funerals and I've heard this hymn sung. It's a Charles Wesley hymn. And the last verse goes like this. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all in death and cry, behold the Lamb. Charles Wesley wrote that one night after he'd been preaching at a church meeting and there was a heckler there who was blaspheming the name of Christ. The name of Christ, of course, meant everything to Charles Wesley. And so he said, no, I want to go down when I die. I want that to be on my lips. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all in death and cry, behold the Lamb. What we've been trying to do in this series is to prepare ourselves, to get wisdom, to prepare ourselves for our old age. Well, not only to prepare ourselves, we're in it, but to do it wisely and to do it well, to realize that we have the opportunities to proclaim the gospel, to also make us able to be prepared for death. Packed and ready, if I may say so. Are you packed and ready? Last Monday morning, I put Danielle on a plane to go to India for 2 weeks to visit our family. We had to be out the door by 6:45 a.m. Had she said to me, when I said at 6:30 a.m., are you ready? She said, hang on, I'm just getting my suitcase down. I would have said, what? You will be pleased to know that for the 2 weeks before, in the spare room on the spare bed was a suitcase, and bit by bit, the things to go to India were being assembled. She was not going to go that morning and get ready to go. That seems an obvious thing to you, doesn't it? That you would prepare and you would pack your bag and be ready. Why is it that some people have not made their preparations for their journey into eternity? I can't work it out. If you know you're going to go on that journey, and unless you know something I don't, we're all going to go on that journey unless the Lord returns, are you packed and ready? If it happened tonight, today, this morning, would you be ready? Be packed and ready. But while you're waiting, will you live joyfully in his presence? Will you enjoy praising God? Will you enjoy sharing him with others? proclaiming by our witness and our words the wonders of his name. Let me pray. Father, give us the hearts of wisdom that we asked about in the first of these four sermons. Give us hearts to know that our days are numbered. Give us hearts to praise you. Give us hearts to be prepared, to be packed and ready, to have accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Father, give us a heart also to share your love, our love of you and your love of us, with the next generation. Father, help us to find ways to do that so that we might bless those you put across our path. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.